Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you by Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Dalid. And even though we got a little bit past Urupili yesterday, but because we're going to be discussing sort of the Midas that are Negea B'nei Terah and so on, so let's start again from the Omar Rava. Haitzur b'mirabonan domi leparzida de tutekala. So we said that a young Talmud Chacham, Tzurba, is a little bit still smart alecky, is like Sharpie, but he's like a seed that's underneath a thick piece of ground. So we understood that until he's able to explode, in other words, there needs to be a certain amount of yediyas haterah, and there needs to be a certain amount of actually his being broken down, being kept down for a while until he's ready to actually explode into himself. So over there, it's the same as the sugya of Urupili that we had yesterday, which is a type of rain that encourages the seeds to actually, once they start breaking through, they can break through cement. So here too, kivan de navat, navat, the young Talmud Chacham, once he starts to explode, he explodes. We said this over yesterday, but I'm repeating it because I think it's nogea the sugya today as well, to understand it better. So even though he seems to get hot under the collar all the time, and because of that, people will put him down, Rashi says the issue over here is indeed to learn to be malamed zchus on him, and to understand that what's driving him is oraitahu dekor martachalai, that because he becomes so sensitive, and because he is now full of his desire to apply the understanding that he has and to change the world and to recognize everything that isn't right. So he really becomes very, very oversensitive to things. And because of that, he's very overly responsive. He doesn't know how to put himself into a state of quietude. But that's because of Torah. Shenemar halocho dvarai ke'esh ne'um Hashem. So this is about a tzurba mirabonim. The question is that we're talking over here about an early stage. Well, what about a Talmud Chacham himself? And as Rashi explained yesterday, the difference is b'hai mirabonim versus a tzurba mirabonim. So Omer of Ashi, that as far as a Talmud Chacham is concerned, a mature Talmud Chacham, kol Talmud Chacham she'eino kashe kevarzel, eino Talmud Chacham. If he's not like steel, then he's not a real Talmud Chacham. Because the continuation of that same pasuk, Kod Varaika Ish, is Uchpatish Yefotzetzela. You have to be like a hammer that can shatter a piece of rock. So that means that the Torah, if the Torah is that way, then again, if Kod Varaika Ish defines the Tzurba Mirabana, then Kefatish Yefotzetzela should define the Talmud Chacham. So now the question is like this. Rashi says that the idea that he should be a kosher kebarzel is that he should be a kapdan, he should be makbid on everything, which is very, very strange. And it's mashma that he is somebody who goes against the way kapdanim, kakoshim kebarzel, very tough people. But is this really the vision that we have of Talmid Chachomim, that they should be tough? And Omerle Rabba Abba L'Ravashi Aton Mi'ata Matnitula. You learn it from the Pat Pasuk. And we learn it from the this Pasuk. Me'acha Matninana. Dechtiv Eretz Asher Avaneha Barzel. So about the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, the stones of Eretz Yisrael are metal, that you can get iron out of it. And we read that as we usually do. Al Tikri Avaneha Ela Boneha. And the Boneha are always Tamid Chachomim, who are Mekayim the Yoylam with the Yoylam. With the limud. So therefore, this means that they're supposed to be like iron. So now it seems to me that there is a difference in these two things that relates to Ravina's next comment. Om Ravina, afilo achim yiboyle lina shalomelef nafshi benichuta. This is maybe true, but a person has to work on himself to attain a certain level of serenity. Shenema vehaser kas milibecha vaavira ami besorecha. So that means that you should take that anger away from yourself. All of this is very strange, no? I mean, kol hakoyes kilo oved avodah zarah, HaKoyes im Chochom hu Chochmato mistaleket mimenu. I mean, what are we saying? What do you mean? Afilu Hochim Yiboylin? Well, obviously, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. I need to learn from a pasuk that there's an inyan of aser kasmi libecha. So what's going on? It's against the idea of being heilech in the Darkei Hashem, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And as the Rambam brings, I mean, Dafka Kas is one of those things that you're supposed to be mizrachik from to the Kotzar Sheni, where you don't even follow the Derech HaChokhma over there. You go according to the Inyanim of the Chosid, in which you're mizrachik. Here it just says, you should learn a little bit. Melef Nashi, I could train yourself, B'nei Chusa. So, I mean, the obvious attempt that everybody makes over all of the Mefarshim, one way or another, Rav Moshe has actually a big shtickle on this, in which he explains that all of this is benogea, his piskei halachas. So when it says that the Talmud Chacham has to be like Eisen, and he has to be a steel, it means that even though he may be an individual who generally he's not makbid on things, and he doesn't push things, but when it comes to making certain that people will accept the psak, which is he believes is correct, he shouldn't be hesitant in any way, because that will cause people to doubt his psak halacha. They'll say, well, deep inside he knows himself it's not the right halacha. Those are the things that Rav Moshe says. And this, of course, is very much reflected in the way Rav Moshe was. I mean, the total anivas and lack of akpada on, I mean, it's an unbelievable story. There was one guy who used to write svarim where the whole Sefer was about Rav Moshe's psak and why it's wrong. So he took every psak of Rav Moshe, and he went and he wrote a Sefer about why it's a wrong psak. And he published these for him. Once he published a Sefer on some other issue, and he asked Rav Moshe for a haskoma on his Sefer, and Rav Moshe gave it to him. So that's the type of person Rav Moshe was. So obviously the Gemara is referring to making sure that people, that you're not afraid of the psak and you stand up for the psak, and it doesn't matter who's sitting there making fun of you, you're like steel. The problem is that the thing that we had just learned before about a tzur b'mirabanan, which Rashi says is a set over here in order that you should learn, you should be malad the nafkamina, so the lamed alav tzchus. Why is he acting like this? I mean, obviously that's referring to the halokot varai ke'esh, as Rava said. It's the terror that's heating him up inside, and he's finding it difficult to control himself. But that means that he is naturally sensitive. That's what it's saying. It's not saying that this is a hanhoga that he should have. On the contrary, it's not a hanhoga he should have, because he's still a kid, but you got to understand him. So then what we're talking about over here is something that is not an intellectual thing, but that is meant to be his natural response to things, right? Now you'll notice the difference between the original pshat of Rav Ashi, who compares the kapatish to the original thing, which is halokot varai ke'esh, it's the same pasuk. The kod varai ke'esh is the definition of what's happening to his psychology internally from exposure to Torah. Masha Enkin, Rav Abba's pasuk has a completely different meaning. Rav Abba's pasuk means that they are that way, not why they are that way. That they are that way, that avanea kaponea, that is to say, or kabarzel, could very well be a hanhoga that you're supposed to be manigis atzbecha. The problem is that then Ravina doesn't make sense, unless you want to say Ravina is just going back on the original approach and not on Rav Abba, but he's going on Rav Ashi's approach. Difficult to believe. So what we might be talking about over here, and there's a beautiful gra that actually says this. And the gra says that there is an inyan, there's a strange gemara in Shabbos about the a Talmud Chacham has to be able to be mahapich is begodim. Ezu Talmud Chacham is mahapich is begodim. And the Gra says that means that he can switch the levush of his personality. His persona is switchable. So that when it comes to some inyanim, it's persona X. And when it comes to other inyanim, it's persona Y. In which case, what it would mean is that these are really deep internal issues, and that the question is, what element of himself is he exposing? But it doesn't mean a hanhaga bi'alma. So therefore, even what Rav Meisher would be saying would be understandable, because what it would be saying is, when it comes to Torah, let yourself explode, because as the explosion is going on inside of you, not act out explosiveness. So this is not a din in Ilchus Deis. On the contrary, it seems on the pasha seems to be a violation of Hilchos Deos, which is, that's the Rambam says, pretend to be angry. Don't really feel the anger. That's difficult to believe that that's what it's saying. Furthermore, and this Rav Meisher speaks out as well, if Ravina is saying you have to teach yourself Nechuta, then why should you teach yourself Nechuta if the value is to be able to stand up for your psak? So he understands it to mean, even in this area where you're supposed to be kabars that allow out that part of your personality, train yourself not to allow it to affect you internally in your other elements, because of the fact that it says aser kas milibecha, if you get the kas out of your personal life, so then you will be ma'avir ra'a mibisarecha. You'll be much better off and you'll suffer less. So that could be, says Rav Meisher, maybe even in those things, you should try to find some other way in which you could stand up for a psak without needing to get angry, because once you get angry, so then he's kosher, as some of the Rishonim say, he's going to be kal lichos, and he's going to be kosher also to quiet down. That's no good. So he should be careful not to be kal lichos. Once he's koes, then it's going to be a big problem because he's a captain. And it's very hard to quiet him down. So you can understand the complexity of what's going on over here. It is by no means a normal din in Hilchos Deis. On the surface, it means that there are elements in the Tzur B'Mirabanan and in the Talmud Chacham himself that are a different personality of tremendous, tremendous boiling over concern, sensitivity, responsiveness, and a steel-like, which people confuse with a gaiva, and to think so much of himself that it's on the contrary. Even in the child, it should be malamid alav zechus. And over here, it's what he's mechuyev to allow out as necessary. This is what its connection is to Ta'anit and to Urpili. That we'll see as we go on, Bezrat Hashem, through the sugyas. Omer Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonatan. There were three people. And the reason that we're starting this is because it's going to get back to the Gishami. There were three people that were Shalusha Loka Hogan, and they made bakashas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that were improperly phrased. Lishnayim Yishivul Kahogan, two out of the three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway, gave them a correct response that they should have thought of themselves. But one of them really got it across the head. And le'echad ishivu shalok hogan. The three are Eliezer Eved Avraham, Shaul ben Kish, and Yiftach HaGiladi. Eliezer Eved Avraham, because it says, Vayana ra, asher omari lehatina kadech, that is the girl. Absolutely. He's going to go run like he did. He's going to go run and he's going to give her her kedushin, basically, as a shliach for kedushin. I mean, he didn't even say that she shouldn't be blind, deaf, and lame. I mean, like, what do you mean? You know, she's the girl that says this, you know. What do you know? Do you know what's going on? Maybe she's a mukashkin, you know. Have you found out that she's not, like, covered with boils? I mean, you don't know anything about her. What are you going ahead and giving her kiddushin? So, yochal afilu chigeret, afilu sumash, she can be blind or lame. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a shivo kahogen, v'nizdam lulo rivka. So he was Zarcha anyway. Shaul ben Kish, when he needed to get rid of Goliath, so he said, look, whoever's going to go and figure out how to get rid of this giant, Haya Isha Shayakenu, Yashrenu Amelech Osher Gadol V'yad Bito Yitelo. He's going to give him his daughter. He's going to give him his daughter. Maybe the guy is an Evet. Maybe the guy is a mamzer. I mean, what do you think? You're going to give him the daughter? I mean, there are some other requirements besides being a big hero who knows how to knock off giant. I mean, so here is mamzer, the giant killer. So now all of a sudden he's going to become the prince of the land. It doesn't make sense. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishiv Lo Kahogen, V'Nizdami Lo David, Yiftach HaGiladi. Oh, he said, the first thing that comes out of the door of my house, I'm going to bring it up as an oila. Great. This is what you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you very much for your great Shvuah, you know? And how about if the first thing out of the door of your house is a piggy, you know, or a dog? So what are you going to tell me, a Dover Tame? I mean, you have to say the first beautiful mufcher animal that comes out of the house. I mean, if that's the way that you're mezalzel in what you're going to bring is a carbon, so, you know, learn a lesson, is damlo bito. And this is Hanutagarmalu Navili Yisrael. Now, you'll note that this whole idea of the way things are said and the anger with which they're said has begun in the Gemara with the question of Eliyahu's swearing that there's not going to be any rain unless it's on his terms, and the inaccuracy, in a sense, of that thing, binogea the tal, because this is not going to be tal umatar, which left him open. Because remember, it's all very nice. The Gemara says, so why did he say it? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to give it back, if it is a nicker, it says, okay, he was talking about Tal Shel Bracha. That's all very nice. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give back the Tal Shel Bracha Beferish because of the fact that Achav would have just laughed at it and said, I don't see any difference. So then that means that he actually said something about Shelo Kogan either, because when he told it to Achav, Achav could have been saying all of his years, it's not raining, but that idiot said there's not going to be any Tal, and there is Tal. So it starts, the sugya starts with a getter of kas and an over-responsiveness. I mean, if ever there was a person that is correct to say about him, as Rashi says, to be a captain, it's Eliyahu. And that's exactly the story in the Gemara, right? Where he used to learn all the time. He says to him, so he's saying to some Talmidim, he said, you know, Eliyahu Anavi was a big captain. So then Elio doesn't show up for Seder for the next week, you know? So then he comes back and he says, where have you been for a week? You called me a captain. That's right. You're doing it right now. So fine. So the Gemara actually defines Elio Anavi as a captain, which is the lashon that Rashi just used in defining what the problem is. So that's not stam a coincidence. In other words, we're talking about over here a hanhoga that needs to be understood, even though it's certainly, listen, you know, when a guy comes to you and says, so, Ish Elohim, you know, the Melech asks you to come down. Really? Well, if I'm an Ish Elohim, kills the entire group. Okay. I mean, that there's certainly some element of Kapdanut and Kosher Kibarza. We don't find that Chazal have tainas on it because of that. This is exactly the bonea. So it's not so pasha. It needs to be understood in terms of Hilchos Deos and how it is that this itself is not a fundamental violation of Vahalachta Bidrachav. Anyway, we know that this is the response to Yiftach was terrible, because this is the reason that we find that afterwards we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so upset, where Yirmiyahu says, Hatzori ein begilad im rofei ein sham. Why is there no way of fixing that neder where Yiftach is? Oh, you should have gone and been matir the neder. I'm not that it's a real neder anyway. The whole thing is so stupid. So what in the world was going on that you took yourself seriously? This is usur. And we find clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions three separate inyanim in which he's makbid at the way people are misrepresenting his das. Also in Yirmiyahu, Ki'ilu, he's happy for people to do these crazy things and to sacrifice their children. So there it says, Asher lo tziviti, v'lo dibarti, v'lo alta libi. I never was mitzava such a thing. This is the reference to the story of Mesha, Melech Moav, in which the only way he felt he could save himself was v'yikach et b'no ha-bechor, asher yimloch tachtov, v'ya'aleo ola l'shem shamayim. He brings him up the same way that Yitzchak was going to be brought up in the Mizbeach. And he did this l'shem shamayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I asked somebody to do such a crazy thing. Lo dibarti refers to Yiftach. I asked somebody to do such a crazy thing. So if you'll taina, yes, you did. You certainly did. You told Avram Avinu to go and to bring his son. Yeah, but you know, lo al tal libi. I didn't really mean it, right? That's the difference. So when it comes to Mesha, that does talk about lo dibarti, because he wasn't going to talk to Mesha Melech Moav, but in case of Yiftach, he could have said dibarti. And when it comes to lo tziviti, that makes sense in terms of of Mesha. There was no such mitzvah ever. Omer Rebrechia, you know what? Knesset Yisrael, Klal Yisrael itself, although Knesset Yisrael is not Klal Yisrael, as I've said, people use the terms in an interrelated way. It's a completely different concept, so I really should be more careful because I don't want to go around, backing up wrong Lashonis. Knesset Yisrael is actually the element of the Shekhinah itself, which is the part of, it's a synonym even for Shekhinah. It's the part, remember, the Shekhinah is a mutual relationship. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Knesset Yisrael, as the Malchus of Shamayim is expressed within Klal Yisrael, also asked improperly, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nonetheless, did respond correctly, as if it would have been more appropriate. Because, like it says in the Pasuk in Hosea, it says, V'nid'an yudefa ladat et Hashem, kishachar nachon motza'o, v'yavo kigeshem lanu, let's give us the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it should be like the breaking forth as morning has broken, and it should come into us like rain, and the amala HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Biti, you know, my daughter, you're asking for something that is not always good. And that, of course, is the whole beginning of the Masechet. Rain is sometimes a klala and sometimes a bracha. And because of that, the Azkara, we have the whole halacha over here that we don't paskin like Reb Eliezer, and we don't have the maskirin Gvorot Gishamim all year round, and that it has to be only in its time. And on the contrary, if you say it at the wrong time, your tefillah is not mitkabelet, you have to say over your davening. So, atshoelet davar shepa'amim mitbakesh upa'amim eino mitbakesh. People don't always want rain. So you're asking me to be like the rain, that come into your heart like the rain, I'll change your request and I'll do it right. Ani ayelecha davar mitbakesh la'olam, shenemar eyeh kital Yisrael. Obviously, this is now the entire elements of our sugya that we just had yesterday about the difference between tal and matar in terms of the tefillah. And here it's the details of how it is that a person should be shoyel and relate to the Dias Hashem that comes into him. Another thing that Knesset Yisrael said improperly was, beautiful pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Simeni chachotam al libecha, kechotam al zroecha, you should place me on your heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like your arm, put it on like a tefillin, like on your arm, so you should always remember me. Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my sweetheart, at sho'elet davar, pa'amim nireh, pa'amim eino nireh. I mean, if I'm going to put it on my heart, if I'm dressed, you know, or if I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt, kaviyachal, so who's going to see the memory of you that I carry around on me all the time, and I won't see it right away? I'm going to do what you're asking, but I'm going to do it right. And therefore, the response to this is beautiful. Shenemar, hein al kapayim chakotich. I actually put you on my palms, and the palm is always visible. Okay, the next thing that we learned in the Mishnah was ein sho'alim gishamim, ela somuch l'gishamim. Now, in the Mishnah, we sort of put that under the carpet, because it's very weird. We never use the word sho'alim throughout that entire Mishnah, right? The Mishnah was constantly a reference to maskirin, ematai maskirin et hagishamim. So we had our different approaches with Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and the discussion between them. And then it sounds like this was part of that discussion, so that Rabbi Yeshua was saying, no, listen, we're not going to be maskir gishamim if it's not at the right time when we want gishamim, in which case, if that's what this means, so then he means that the time that is roy for gishamim is already when we're out of the sukkah, the next day. And now it is Shmini Atzeres. That's what it sounds like. So then that's what we assume. So Savrua, initially, when we read the Mishnah, it certainly sounds like the She'ela in this particular context, even though throughout the whole discussion we've been so makbid. And Reb Eliezer, did I say to ask? I said to be maskir. Okay, so that like is the fundamental difference. But like, how are you going to explain this word of She'ela all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere? So we assume that even though it said the word She'ela, it's actually referring to the same thing. And what it means is Gvurot Gishamim in Askara. So then who is this going according to when it says that you only do it askara if it's right by the time of the Geshama? So Mantana. Omar Rava, well, this would be going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua would be saying, Misha'at hanachato. Okay, this is a question whether he means dafka de sha'at hanachato. We talked before, because this is the Braisa, and the question is, why would we read the Braita specifically? And there might be a difference between them. Remember that Misha'at hanachato could mean on Shvi, whereas if you just use Rabbi Yoshua, so then it would be on Shmini. Possibly. We saw that there was a machlokes rishonim about that. But in any event, there are gersaot that don't have this last piece, which is, because it really is funny to say it's Rabbi Yeshua, the Omer Mishat HaDachato, when you're trying to explain the Mishnah. That's not his Lashon in the Mishnah. Okay, so, but what it means is from Shmini. Says Abaye, no, not necessarily. You have to understand this could be going up for you according to Rabbi Yasser. She'ela l'chud v'azkara l'chud. I mean, when we say over here, we're not going to be shoyel. So Rabbi Eliezer was saying only that we're going to be maskir for the first day of Sukkot, but he's made it, like he said. I didn't say to ask, so this is talking about she'elas. I'm saying, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that we'd be maskir the whole time. Don't confuse that with she'ela. We'll start being shoyel. Only after Shmini, only by Shmini Atzeres. And obviously after Shmini Atzeres, because we're not sure on Shmini Atzeres. Ikidi Amri. Others say it as a question. Lema, should we say that this piece of the Mishnah is only going to leave the Rabbi Yoshua? Diyoma Misha'at HaNachato. And Rava said in this version, no, Afilu Tema Rabbi Eliezer. She'la L'chud, V'Hazkara L'chud. So Abaya said it there. Here Rava says it in its response to the question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So now let's try to understand Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that on the first day, the last thing we had was on the first day of Pesach. So the Rishon, who's the Baal Shachris, says it, and the Achron, who's the Baal Musav, does not say it. Is that true? Because for Amini, it says Ad Matay Shor Lina Tagishamim. Now this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer over lifnei Ateva. And yet, here it says, in the Mishnah later on, which we're going to have tomorrow, so it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Matay Shor Lina Tagishamim, Ad Sheyavor HaPesach. Ad Sheyavor HaPesach, but that's the end of Pesach. And here he said that only until the Musaf on the first day of Pesach. How is that possible? Rabbi Meir says, forget Ad Sheyavor HaPesach. Obviously, it doesn't mean the last day, which is Yontif, because there's no... we don't have a she'ela there, but it means throughout the whole Chol HaMoed, right? And Rabbi Meir says, forget about it, it's even through the whole Nisan, because basically it's still Ro'i for Geshomim. So how do you explain Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Chista, no, wait a minute. In the Mishnah, we were talking about she'ela, and in our Mishnah, we were talking about Haskara. They're two different things. What are you bringing me the next Mishnah from tomorrow? There it was saying Ad Matay Shoalim. Yes, Shoalim, longer. But to be Maskir, we stop being Maskir. La Haskir is beyond Tavarishan Pasik. Whereas to be Shoyo, we continue to be Shoyo throughout Pesach. Ugh. Omar Ula, this is crazy. I mean, unless you like... you know, gargling with vinegar and getting smoke in your eyes. This Rav Chista's teretz is just awful. Hada Rav Chista is kasher kechometz l'shinayim u'cheashan l'inayim. I mean, look, the whole idea was to start off the process. We're going to be maskir, and we're saying, no, we don't mean to be shayal. So when we're not ready to be shayal, you know, so we're nonetheless going to be maskir. Okay. So, if that's the case, if b'mokom she'eno shoel maskir, so isn't it obvious that makom she'shoel eno din she'e maskir? I mean, the maskir is a preparation for the she'ela. So then, koshekin, we're not going to stop being maskir after we're already being shoel. Why would we do that? That we'll continue to be shoel, but we won't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shevach, is that his mashiv aruch ha'mered ha'geshem? That's crazy. That can't be the pshat. Ela Amar Ula, I'll tell you what the pshat is. It must be that there is no pshat. There's no way to resolve this. It's got to be a contradiction. And that's not so bad, because we often find that there's trei tanoi alibi Rabbi Yehuda. So fine, it's okay. So there were two tanoim that gave over the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in different ways. Rabbi Yosef says, I can explain it. I can say that Ad Sheyavor HaPesach doesn't mean the holiday. It means Ad Sheyavor the Shliach Tzibur HaRishon HaYoreh B'Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. You know, it's until Pesach is over, meaning as defined by the previous Mishnah and so on. I said, I would make them both the same. Amalei Abaye, what do you mean? But there is no She'ela on that day, is there? Because there is no Shmoneh Esrei on that day, right? So how could it possibly say, and we keep being Shoyal all the way through till the Musaf of the first day? That's not true. You can't say that. Well, says Rabbi Yosef, sort of you could, because it's true that there is no She'ela directly, because we don't have a Shmoneh Esrei. However, remember that on things that we cannot actually say in the tefillah, because we don't do it on Yom Tov, we nonetheless do have an alternative to tefillah. Because what we do is that in the tzibur, we put up a meturgaman who is saying over the shir, and the meturgaman always is supposed to manage to fit in a mention of the need for rain in the middle of his targum of the shir. So that's what I mean. That we should keep saying it. The Mishnah is telling you we should keep saying it, meaning keep up the mentioning all the way through the morning of Pesach. That this makes sense to you? This is what the meturgaman should. I mean, if we didn't mazkir rain anymore, so why in the world would the meturgaman in the shir, which is after we've already stopped being mazkir, why would he be shoyal something that we don't want? V'chi meturgaman shoyal davar sheino tzarich letzibur. I mean, the whole point was that we put up that meturgaman at times, so it's Shabbos, and we're not able to be mavakish geshomim on Shabbos, and it's a terrible drought, and we need rain, so fine, so over there we have a meturgaman doing that. But certainly not going to tell me we're going to make that the standard meturgaman on the day when we stop being maskir. What kind of answer is that? No. All of these answers are no good. Machvarta kede'ula makes much more sense what Ula said, that there's no real solution, and that these are trei tanoi alei the Rabbi Yehuda, and you got to bite the bullet. Rabba says, no, there is actually a very simple solution. Instead of explaining Ad Sheyavor Pesach as meaning the holiday of Pesach is over, what Ad Sheyavor Pesach means Ad Sheyavor Zman Shchitas HaPesach. So now, meaning until it's time for the Chatzos on Erev Pesach, so then that means for Mincha, Erev Pesach, that is what it's referring to by Ad Sheyavor Pesach, and that we would still, the first day of Pesach, in Shacharis, that part would still be true. Because what we do is basically the same thing in the beginning. It really makes beautiful sense, as Rabbi. We start with being makdim the zechira to the she'ela, and then we sort of gradually, when we stop being shoyel, we continue being maskir the same way that we did it at the beginning. So by mincha the day before, we're no longer being shoyel, and then the next day on Yom Tov, on Musaf, we stop being maskir, and therefore we have the haskara going on as if to say, look, the Haskara is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great Gevurais, has nothing to do with our needs, and therefore we say it both before and after. I think that's beautiful, says Rabba. Kitchilato kein sofo. So we basically keep it very harmonized here. The Tchilato, your first maskir, afo pisheno shayal. So at the end, you are maskir, afo pisheno shayal. So you stopped asking the day before, and you continue. The next morning, you're still maskir. Omar le'abaya, no, sir. It doesn't really make sense. I mean, because in the beginning, when you're being maskir, well, of course, the Haskara is the Ritzui for the She'ela that is going to be coming once it's time for the rain, right? So you want to be Meratza. And we said that's the whole deal, that it's Gvuris Kishabim, and it's a din in Cheker, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din, and this is the Zman of the din. Okay, I understand that. So this is a Ritzui. And we said the whole idea is Ritzui. But the Sofo, Understand, there's no more ritzui. We're not asking. So why are we being maratza? Ma ritzui do we have of a she'ela, which we are not going to be saying at all? So there should be no ritzui that's necessary. So it, you know, it sounds all very sweet on the surface, but it doesn't really make any sense, Rabbi. I still say the way to go is to bite the bullet. There's no solution. And these are trei tadoya libra Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the way it is. Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Well, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that we start at Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, which is, of course, the way that we do it. Omer le Rabbi Zeir le Rav Asi, wait a minute. Rabbi Yochanan said that? How could Rabbi Yochanan have said that? It's against what we learn later on in the Mishnah, that b'shlosha b'mar cheshvan sho'ali b'tag yishamim, we do not start the she'ela on Shmini Atzeres, we're sho'ali b'tag yishamim, only on the third of Bar Cheshvan. And that's the time of the real onata gishamim, whereas according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's on the seventh. According to Rabbi Lozer, he says that that's how we paskin, aloha k'Rabbi Gamliel. So that would mean that we should not be sho'ali gishamim until Bar Cheshvan. So how did Rabbi Yochanan say that we would start actually on Shmini Atzeres? We shouldn't. Again, we're doing the same thing. We're assuming that because our Mishnah sees an interrelationship between Matai Shoalim and Matai Shemazkirin, and this has been thematic in the Mishnah, that there's a spillover in this relationship between Askar and Shael. And this, of course, is the part of the discussion that we just had between Rav and Abaye. I mean, are they really related? Does it really make sense? And that we should keep it somehow as aesthetically pleasing, that there's a relationship of Zechira, Sheela, Zechira. And here the Gemara is once again assuming it's the same thing. So first of all, Rav Asi said to Rav Zira, I don't understand. So what? So Rav Elazar paskins like Rav Gamliel. Who cares? Rav Yochanan has to agree to everything that Rav Elazar is saying. What's the problem? Gavra, gavra karamita. I mean, he can argue on Rav Elazar, right? Or, you know what? It could very well be that Rav Yochanan doesn't argue with Rav Elazar. He may be perfectly consistent with him. And again, you're confusing two different things. You're confusing She'ela and Askara. But Rav Yochanan, what was Rabbi Yochanan talking about? He was talking about the Zechira. We start being Maskir Gishamim on Shmini Atzeres. But Enoch Inami, the She'elata Gishamim, is actually the seventh of Mar Cheshvan, or however we want to learn it. So in other words, we're now recognizing that they are not linked. Yes, the Gemara, but Rabbi Yochanan says they are linked. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, Bimakom sheshoel maskir, that wherever it is that you're being shoel, that's where you're maskir. And that if you're being maskir, then that would be a place that you're being shoel, right? So, I mean, that means that they are the same. Now, I mean, how exactly can they be the same? We've been saying the entire time, therefore, that since we have a din of maskirin, Dafkan and Shmini Atzeres, we do not have a tefillah of Shmona Esrei to be Shael. So what do you mean, B'mokom Shesho? This is not, as Rashi points out, this is not the time where we're Shoel. Okay, but again, I mean, it seems to be Dai B'pashtas, the way the Achronim answer, is that what we're talking about is it doesn't mean that you're going to Beferish be saying it if there's a reason that you can't. It just means this is the Zman that is Roi. If there happens to be no Shmona Esrei, fine, so that there's no Shmona Esrei, because you can't say it, but that's not, we're talking about in principle, and in principle, they're related. So if that's true, so now how are you going to say that one is on Mar Cheshvan, if in principle they're related, and one is Shmini Atzeres? No, what Rabbi Yochanan was saying was only saying, he was talking about the end of the season, Lavsaka. So in other words, if you're going to stop being Shoyal, then you have to stop being maskir. But, I mean, we've already said that at the beginning of the season, we bedavka want you to be maskir, even though you're not going to be shayel. That's what we said before. So maybe that's all he meant. No. Rabbi Yochanan says, itchil askir, matchil ishol. As soon as you start being maskir gvuras gishamim, then you're going to be shayel gishamim. Posak mil ishol, posak mil askir. So now he's saying that they're exactly the same. So now what? You know what? there's another approach over here. It really depends, doesn't it, on where you live. In other words, what is the rainy season where it's appropriate to be Mavakish Kashami? So a very simple explanation would be that Rebbe Elazar, who said that's on the 7th of Cheshvan, that's talking about for us over here in Bavel, because the rainy season is meant to be later over here. We don't want to be Masker Geshamim. We don't want to be Shaul Geshamim before then. But when Rabbi Yochanan says that, no, it's the same time, he was talking about that Enoch Yami Shmini Atzeres is the beginning of the rainy season in terms of Eretz Yisrael. That's different. Because over here in Bavel, we are very much in need of drying out all of our tefuah for longer, because it's a much more humid kind of place, and it's a high water table. And because of that, we wait until Bar Cheshvan, because our tefuah is still out in the Sodeis. Marshein Ken in Eretz Yisrael, this was the Zman HaSifa was already over. So therefore, we can start talking about even on Shmini Atzeres. Says the Gemara, no. There's the other reasons why we should not start on Shmini Atzeres, even if we live in Eretz Yisrael. Because my Shnaladi Don, why did you say that for us in Bavel it's different? Because it's logistically different, right? It's because Islan Peri Bidabra. It's not because it's not the rainy season. It's not because the clouds don't come and the rains don't come. It's because we would prefer that it would not rain until we get our stuff in from the field, right? Okay, so you're saying that logistics are important in determining the same way we did for Sukkot. We don't want it to rain in Sukkot because we'll have to leave our Sukkot. Okay, fine, I understand. So we don't want it to rain here in Bavel because we don't want the food to be ruined if it's out drying. But then that's true in Eretz Yisrael also. In Eretz Yisrael, if it starts raining on Shmini Atzeres, what are the early regolim going to be doing? I mean, then their whole idea, we're going to be going from Bavel, we're going to have to find our way back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. How are we going to get back? The roads are going to be washed out. It's terrible. So on the contrary, it's over there also. We're going to destroy the whole Aliyah L'Regel and the Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael by saying that we should start davening, that it should rain on these people who are Aliyah L'Regel. So there's a reason for us not to start over there either. You're right, says the Gemara. But Rabbi Yochanan was talking about Bizman HaZeh, where unfortunately there is this insane situation and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So Bizman She'ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam. So he's saying, so at that time, you should start immediately after Shmini Atzeres. In fact, now that you're saying that, we don't even have to say there's a difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Hashta de'atita lahachi. Hava haladidu. We could say that both dinim, Mar Cheshvan and Shmini Atzeres, they both apply to Eretz Yisrael. Velo kasha, there's still not a problem. Because Kan Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam. So when Rebbe Elazar said that we don't start being Mavakish Geshamim until Mar Cheshvan, until the Shvi of Cheshvan, that's talking about Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam. And we're Rabbi Yochanan and Paskin, that we're talking about immediately by Shmini Atzeres, we should start being Maskir, start being Shoyal the very next day. It's talking about Bizman She'ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam. And that's the way the sugya is left. Now, as you know very well, that is not the halacha. And the big question is, why the heck is it not the halacha? It's the last thing that the Gemara came out with. That Rabbi Yochanan makes perfectly good sense. Fahashta de'atita lahachi, that's the end of the sugya. So that means that we should say that we should begin being shoyal de geshamim the day after Shmini Atzeres. Why did we wait this year to the 7th of Cheshvan when there was no Beis HaMikdash? And yet that's the way the Rambam Paskins beferish. And everybody be'ikvotav. Okay, so we'll talk to that when we get to the main sugya on Daf Yud. We'll talk about how in the world this Gemara is supposed to be consistent with the way that we end up Paskining, because this seems to be the final word. Now, the question is, you started talking about people in Bavel. I mean, what do we do if we have 2 days of Yontif? So we got to really between a rock and a hard place if we've got 2 days of Yontif. Because, good Lord, what are we going to do? If we're going to treat the first day as Shmini Atzeres, and it's the real, will the real Shmini Atzeres please stand up? So we're going to pretend the first day is Shmini Atzeres, and then we're going to do Musaf, And in the mitzvah of Shemini Atzeres, the first day, we're going to start saying, Mashiva Ruach Umori Lagesha. So what are we going to do on the second day? On Myriv? Because the second day, we're saying, this is the real Shemini Atzeres. But Myriv and Shachris on the real Shemini Atzeres, you don't say, Mashiva Ruach Umori Lagesha. So now we're contradicting ourselves. On the other hand, if we are going to not continue, what are we going to do? Well, let's pretend that Shemini Atzeres on the first day, just in case. Okay, so just in case. So what are you going to do? You'll say Mashiv Ruach Umori Lagesha. Now comes along Mincha. Now you have a suffix. Is it or isn't it? Do we stop? And then for Myriv, and Mincha, Myriv, Shachris, we stop and then we start again? Like, this is really weird. So what are we supposed to do? Echir Avdinan. Omar Rav, well, look, you're gotta treat Shemini Atzeres first day as if it's the real Shemini Atzeres. So you'll have to start doing the Tfilas Hageshem in Musaf. That's what one does on Shemini Atzeres. You have to be Matchil b'Musaf. Okay, I mean, then we've got our suffix back. So don't say it in Mincha. Don't say it the Myriv of the second day. Don't say it the Shachris of the second day. And then in Musaf, you go say the Tfilah of Geshem again. So the Chazan gets to do his shtick twice. That's beautiful. Amar Shmuel, oh, come on, will you please? This is what Rav said. Will you please go back to Rav and tell him, Polk, get out of here and go tell Abba. Go tell Rav. Remember that they called him Rav. What was the real name? Rashi says that Abba is the Lashon of Kovod. Okay, but whatever it is, go tell him, Acher Shasito, Kodesh Taseu Chol, I understand. You announced in Musav, today is Shemini Atzeres, and today is the din with the Mayim, and we have to be Mispalo, and we put on the Kittel, and we got all of these songs, and it's Levrocha Velo Leklola, and everything else, and then all of a sudden it's over? And on Mincha time, you're gonna now say, well, we weren't really sure. How can you do that? You can't treat the rest of the day not as Yontiv. No. Says Shmuel, of course you'd have to continue the whole day. Same way when we had a suffix about what is Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah. So when we started keeping the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we kept it the entire day, right? Okay, so we do the same thing over here. We're Matchil B'Musaf. We continue on in Mincha. And then for Myriv and Shachris of the second day, which is the Yom HaTshi, really, as we know, we do the whole shtick again in Musaf and we start over again. Rava says, that doesn't make sense either. I say, once you started on the eighth day, you don't stop and go through the motions of starting again. V'chein omer of sheshes, kivan sheitchil, shuveni poisek. V'af Rava, I mean, the end Rav had charota, because we see that Rav Chananel quoted Rava saying, you want to know what it is that you do? Count 21 days from Rosh Hashanah. How did you keep Yom Kippur? You weren't going to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur because you weren't going to be fasting 2 days, right? Okay, so what'd you do? You counted 10 days from the first day of Rosh Hashanah because you relied on the fact that me olam lo ibru ala elu. Like we said before, you can get away without fasting 2 days of Yom Kippur. Okay, so the same way, keder shemon atzor yomim mi Rosh Hashanah ad Yom HaKippurim, and you did that, and that's when you start being the mazkir de geshamim on that next day, which is the Yom HaShemini. Sukkot is over 21 days. Next day you start, and Kivan Sheitchil, Shuv Eino Poseik. And in fact, the halacha is Kivan Sheitchil, Shuv Eino Poseik.